Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. This is the podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We are one church in multiple locations, and we have campuses in Cabot, Benton, West Little Rock, Fellowship Espanol, and Midtown. And my name is Dan Schaefer. I'm your host for Fellowship Talks, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
Hello, everybody.
Amy, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
It's January 9th. When are we supposed to stop saying Happy New Year? When is it no longer socially acceptable?
I don't know. Probably about now.
Probably about now. All right. Well, Fellowship, this is your last Happy New Year. All right. And just accept that it's 2019 and that we're ready to rock and roll with this year. We wanted to share a special podcast with you guys today. From time to time, as small group pastors here at the church, we have different small groups or different people ask us how to volunteer, what different areas of ministry that their small group can come in and volunteer with or serve with. And we wanted to share one of those opportunities with you guys today.
Mm-hmm. It's always good to hear these because I think lots of times we know there's things out there, but we don't quite know what we can do or how we can get involved. And it's good just to have our ministry partners come share those ways with us.
Yeah. So our local missions partner that we're going to share about today is Home Away From Home. And they have a lot of really practical ways that small groups can jump in and serve here. Amy, why don't you just read a quick bio on Home Away From Home so people get used to that?
Sure. So this is in our guidebook from our missions team. It's our missions guidebook. On page 21 and 22, there's a article about Home Away From Home. And it says, Little Rock is home to one of the top multiple myeloma institutes in the country. This means that families are uprooting and moving to our great city to receive treatment and hopefully make a full recovery. Home Away From Home exists to make the transition as welcoming and hopeful as possible. By providing affordable, beautiful, and well-maintained housing, Home Away From Home relieves some of the logistical stress of finding safe, affordable housing for patients in their time of need. Not only that, the ministry provides meals, cleaning, words of encouragement, and genuine biblical hospitality throughout the patient's stay.
Yeah, that's great. And we want to introduce you to Kim Burkett and Lynn Visioni Wilson, who serve with Home Away From Home. Well, guys, it's so good to have you here with us today. Thank you for being here this morning.
We're excited to be here. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Incredibly grateful.
Why don't we just start with sharing a little bit about how you guys got involved with Home Away From Home. Kim, you're the director for Home Away From Home, so why don't you share a little bit what this journey's looked like for you?
That's really a fun, another God story. I've got so many of them, but my background started many years ago. God was put something on my heart, yet I didn't realize it. So my background was in hotel sales and marketing and did that for 17 years. And I got involved with an organization called the 20th Century Club Lodge for 5 years and while they were building the lodge. And when that opportunity ended, when the lodge opened, that door closed, I really didn't know what I was going to do. That was a very, very part-time job, but he was working in my life at that time, yet I still didn't know. I had two young boys, and I knew I would always go back to work at some point. And my goal was when my youngest son entered kindergarten, and that's when the Lord kind of directed us to the Little Rock Church. And so it was fun to see just right away for me to find a ministry to get involved in. That ministry was Home Away From Home. Mm-hmm. And the leader at that time was Regina Graham, and she knew of my background. And she asked me to get involved with the ministry, and I said, sure. Mm-hmm. So long of the short, I fell in love with this ministry right away.
Yeah. So and, Home Away From Home is connected with Little Rock Church.
Yes, it is.
And Fellowship is one of your partners for Home Away From Home. How's that connection with Little Rock Church? Can you explain a little bit of that?
Sure. Little Rock's Church, yes, this ministry started over 20 years ago by the vision of two women. And it started with just one apartment, and it's grown up into, we've got 17 apartments now, which is super exciting. And it's great to see businesses and organizations and fellowship. You know, God led me to fellowship. That's mm-hmm. another fun story. But and the partnership has just brought so much, and we're just very excited to see mm-hmm. what's to come with that partnership.
Yeah, we love partnering with other churches in the city too, and thankful that they're leading the way as partnering with you with Home Away From Home, and that fellowship can play a part in that partnership.
Yeah, but I would love to hear how Lynn got involved also, but before we do, can you just tell us a little bit about, for people that don't know, what Home Away From Home is?
Sure, I'd love to share about that. Home Away From Home is a hospitality ministry that, like I said, started more than 20 years ago by a vision of two women from the Little Rock Church. And it's a hospitality ministry that we provide a true home setting, and not just a true home setting, but we offer love and encouragement along the way. Mm-hmm. And we pay attention to every single detail that is for each apartment that is put together.
So is this for anyone?
We primarily serve the multiple myeloma cancer patients, and I don't think people realize what an impact that the Multiple Myeloma Center brings to our community, but they're people that are traveling from across the world, and so finding a good place to stay while they're receiving their treatment is just so important. But
there's people from all over our country, but also the world, who come to Little Rock for treatment around this.
That is correct.
Okay.
But Little Rock is such a medical hub, and you know, we've got UAMS, we've got Baptist, St. Vincent's, Arkansas Children's Hospital. So there's just, the opportunities are endless. Mm-hmm. People would get involved. But we just try to provide a good home and love up on these folks. And many times we feel that we're an extension of their family. Mm-hmm. We don't just provide a key to an apartment. We truly get involved and are able to, you know, take a meal, pray with the patients, and just really be that extension of their family where they may have had to leave their family at home.
So it's really ministering to these families in
Absolutely.
A difficult time and coming
Absolutely.
Alongside
mm-hmm.
them. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So Lynn, how about you? How did you become involved with Home Away From Home, and what's your role there?
Well, a lot of God stories involved. I recently started working as a volunteer coordinator. So I work with volunteers that are loving and nurturing and supporting our patients and families. And this is the interesting part. When my late husband and I came to Little Rock, in August of 2008, it was because he had been diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is a very rare bone and blood cancer. I think it makes up less than 1% of all cancers. And we had run out of treatment options in Chicago, even at a great teaching hospital there. Mm,
wow.
And we ran out of options and literally transplanted our family, our four-year-old. Our son was four at the time. And we came to Little Rock in order to get the best treatments and options and access to trials that we could not get even at a great teaching hospital in Chicago. And in fact, when we came to August 2008, we faced the same thing that all these other patients' families do. What are you going to do about housing? We stayed at the Residence Inn for, I think, the first month, and then mm-hmm. we thought we'd get to go home periodically, and we only got to go home twice in those 3.5 years. And we knew we were going to have a hard battle, and God provided housing, an amazing community for us. And we had contacted, or I had contacted Home Away From Home when we first arrived, and they didn't have any availability of apartments. And what was interesting, Regina, that Kim spoke about, I had the opportunity to meet her recently, and I was kind of choked up that day. It caught me off guard that I see how God had worked full circle.
For
that
sure.
Here we contacted Home Away From Home in August of 2008. And while that housing was not provided for our family there, because I didn't have any opportunities of an apartment that was available, God worked in the midst of it. And now I sit here and think, 10 years later, I am a part of helping grow this ministry, that they've gone to 17 apartments, and our vision of being able to go from 17 apartments to more. So we don't have to turn people away. We've got a waiting list of probably a dozen patients all the time.
Wow.
That were like our family, that mm-hmm. you're arriving far away from home, from family, friends, your community, kind of like deer in the headlights of thinking, okay, where are we going to live? How are we going to manage this? And so it's been an amazing full circle to have initially contacted Home Away From Home needing housing and now working as a volunteer coordinator.
Well, Lynn, you walked this journey with multiple myeloma with you and your family. Can you help us understand a little bit more what this means. Because when I hear Kim say that people come from around the world or around the country to Little Rock for treatment, I'm kind of thinking people come in for treatment and then they go home.
Right.
But what's the reality of that?
Most patients, if they're initially diagnosed, might be here initially 6 weeks, get to go home. But then there's patients like our family that we were here for 7 months straight initially, never expecting that. So imagine what that's like for a family to maintain mortgages and housing and day-to-day expenses back home that they have to pay, and then coming to Little Rock and having basically double that of having to have housing. And the one thing I always like to point out, a lot of people think and compare it to other cancers, no cancer is good to have, no treatment's good to have. For the multiple myeloma patients, the chemo rounds are so hard, they become so immunocompromised that they have no immune system. And so they are at the hospital during the hardest part of their treatment 7 days a week. And so that includes for our family, there was not one holiday that we were not at the infusion center for part of our day. And that included Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter. My father had lymphoma. He would go in for an infusion once a week. And that's not an easy process. But for multiple myeloma, people don't understand the journey of these patients that it is life-altering. And instead of having families that are going to work every day, these patients and families are going to the hospital every day. Yeah. So it's a really intense, intense program.
Yeah. So, Kim, you've been involved for several years. How many years did you say you've been?
Going on 8 years.
8 years.
Yes.
So how have you seen this ministry grow over the time that you've been there? And what have you seen the Lord do through this ministry?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a great question, which I don't think we would have quite enough time to share everything that I'd want to share. But I think back to the days, I think back to the day where Regina, where she, after I was working alongside with her for about a, I would say, couple of weeks, month at the most, and she asked me for coffee. And at that time, she said, you know, Kim, I've been praying for years of who would be replacing me. And after, you know, jumping right into the ministry work, I just knew that I had the love for this. But she said, it's you. You're the one that's supposed to take the baton now. And I was just really thrilled that she had that honor of saying that to me. But I just felt like, oh, goodness, thank you, Regina, but I'm not equipped for this. But, you know, I went back and kind of reassessed and looked, and she asked me to pray about it. And I did, and prayed with my husband about it. And sure enough, with over the weekend, I felt that, yes, this is what the Lord has prepared me to do. Looking back, the 17 years of you know, hotel sales and marketing, and just my love for the Lord, and but I think back to those days in the apartments where the Little Rock Church started this, where the apartments were, you know, you have to start somewhere. So they were majority of the items in the apartments were used, you know, pictures that people may have passed along as you know, decorations in the apartments, used couches, whatever. But that's part of this journey. That's what's so exciting, is that it didn't just start all fresh. It started from a little something. And I remember going into those apartments, and I just could see through that. And I felt like God really had given me the vision of what could this be. And, you know, I didn't have a staff at that time. I had one other gal helping out. And we just worked arm in arm and kind of transformed. You know, we went to garage sales, we went to this and that, and
trying to make it feel more like home.
But I remember scrubbing, you know, in the bathrooms, trying to get the little bitty mold parts, and I was like, oh, we've got to get out of here. But, you know, and then just the stories of people coming to us and starting to really hear about more what we were doing and what we represented, which was love and loving our neighbors as ourselves. And I remember the day where Mr. Pfeiffer had a meeting with us and asking me to share the vision of what he felt that God was wanting out of this ministry. And I remember sharing my heart for about an hour and a half with this gentleman, and then he hands me a nice check. This is a gentleman that was paying rent secretly for people that that he didn't even know. And so it's people believing in our cause, and just that small check, which wasn't so small, but it gave us that push and that start where we could get transition these apartments into a really nice facility that people feel good about when they come into the apartment and comfortable.
Yeah. So where are your apartments located?
Okay. We've got 17 apartments. We've got 11 at the Park Avenue Lofts. which is just 2 minutes away from UAMS and a lot of the medical other facilities. And we've got 6 apartments at the Palisades in Chenal Valley, which offers a nice peaceful setting out in the west side of town here in Little Rock. It's a gated community, so just both properties are great options.
Yeah, so I'm getting a clear picture of home away from home here. So you have 17 apartments that where you guys manage the leases for that, right? You just outstanding leases with these apartment complexes?
We do. We sign, Little Rock Church signs the lease of all the 17 apartments, the electricity, cable, internet. We make it easy when the patient, you know, comes to stay with us. There's no lease to be signed. And I remember Regina always saying, don't ever worry, he's going to stay. You know, the list will be long, but God will bring the people that need us the most. And so, and being in hotels, I thought, wow, no signing of a lease. And so, but that was quickly, that was a race from my mind because I could feel the Lord just really coming into being involved in the ministry and bringing the people that really needed us.
So tell us a little bit about if someone wanted to be involved in this ministry, how could we be involved?
Well, there are amazing ways. The volunteers' reality is they are a critical part of our ministry. Mm-hmm. And I do want to make sure that we share that it's the volunteers that want to love and support them, and I'll talk about that in a second, but it's also our business community. Think about, we have hundreds and hundreds of patients that are here pouring into our community, and so we are looking also to partner with businesses like Burgess, provided all the boneless turkeys for Thanksgiving. And so any ministry, every dollar counts. So we need more and more business partners to come along. But then our day-to-day volunteers are a critical part of providing that community. So if you think about our patients and families that are far from home, far from their loved ones, one of the most important parts that our volunteers can provide to them is a sense of community away from their home. And that's outside the hospital walls, because our patients are not living any normalcy in their lives whatsoever. And so to have a community outside of the hospital walls is critically important. So I think about just this new partnership that we have, Fellowship. We have, I was trying to count it up last night, over 100 people that have stepped forward. And so you think about the Thanksgiving dinners that we were provided, volunteers that have financially supported us in providing the sides and the pies to making Thanksgiving just to sit down for Thanksgiving meal. And then as we've geared up for Christmas, it has been amazing, the people that through the D groups that have poured out and families that have poured out. We have had at the Park Avenue Lofts, we had one night a D group that had over 30 people, moms and dads and their children, caroling to our patients and families and delivering cookies. And to see the emotion of our patients and families, feeling that sense of home for them. There are a multitude of ways. So if you can imagine having a loved one, what would you do for them battling a cancer? And we're able to provide that sense of community to our patients' families.
I had a chance, Kim, one day to go visit one of the apartments with you.
Yes.
And what I was impressed with was when we walked in the apartment door, I was kind of expecting just an open apartment, but the whole apartment was furnished. We walked right into the kitchen table there, the couches, the recliner there for the patient. Both bedrooms were fully furnished with beautiful beds for the patients that were coming in to stay. So when I think about what would help make these apartments special for the patients coming into Little Rock, is really just anything that makes our lives feel normal at our own homes.
For sure.
You know, like we have a catch everything drawer in our kitchen where you open the drawer and you can find any essential that you need, you know, chapstick or lighter or whatever you need there in that drawer. Those are some of the kind of donations that you guys love to get, so you can fill those apartments and help them feel like home for
That's
the patients
exactly
walking
right.
in. Yeah, it was so neat to see, like, even the written prayers. Like, Kim, you opened a couple cupboard doors, and there were written prayers there for the patients.
We try to, every nook and cranny, we try to fill with some type of importance. The detail is what we would try to focus on. And it's important to us to get feedback from our patients. After each stay, we do a follow-up and ask them, you know, how can we improve? What could we do better? Or you know, it's important to us. I remember there was, you know, I haven't gone through this process, but there's little things like, you know, handheld showers for, you know, when you have a big chemo mm-hmm. bag, that's something mm-hmm. that would be hard to shower. So we, someone mentioned we should get a handheld shower. We did that.
Yeah.
Well, what about a little hook next to the shower to hang the chemo bag on? Mm-hmm. So those are the little things that we, you know, try to communicate with the patients and families to get feedback. You know, we have walkers and wheelchairs and try to think of every single thing that they would need. And another thing that's really fun is when I, you know, maybe meet a patient or family at the apartments is I do love to open up our counter, our cupboard, excuse me, mm-hmm. Because it's fun to see what other patients may have left. And that's what it shows that this is true ministry. It's not like a cookie cutter effect. It's not just like a hotel. It's a unique situation of bringing a home. And so you may see a whole bunch of cans of green beans or soup or, you know, mm-hmm. spices left behind or baggies or just the things that you have at your own home. And so, you know, people share it. And so it's just everyone is a part of this, you know, community. And I really do feel that everybody feels like we're family. And mm-hmm. so it's not just here's a room.
Yeah. Well, I just think about something about going away with my family and even like the simple joy of going to a condo at the beach. We're not trying to set up a condo for these patients coming in. We're trying to set up a home.
That's right.
That's why the ministry is called Home Away From Home. Even though Target is right next to the Plaza Lofts down there on University, we don't want them to feel like when they come in that they need to run to Target real quick to pick something up. We want these apartments to be ready for them. Plenty of toilet paper, plenty of paper towels. When they need something, it's already there. So I'm hearing a couple of different ways that small groups here at Fellowship can be involved with this. Just by furnishing simple items like that, paper towels, toilet paper.
Absolutely.
Different things for the cabinets. If it feels good for you at your house, it probably feels good furnished in one of these apartments.
That's right.
If you have a little bit more income that you can give with, they have a waiting list of families who are waiting to find an apartment with Home Away From Home. And so it'd be great to look at opening up a new apartment and finding a new lease.
Well, you give me goosebumps when you say that, because that's exactly, you know, what Kim's vision has been and what my vision is. It kills me to know that we've got patients on these waiting mm-hmm. lists. And so to partner with people in financial ways, we need to be able to be bold and say, it's every small contribution helps, but mm-hmm. we also need to find and be bold to say, we need some big contributions. We need to go from 17 to double that and mm-hmm. Triple that and keep going. But one of the things we've also talked about, and I'm glad you're talking about with our D groups, a huge opportunity, Kim has started thinking about this, is what if a D group could adopt an apartment mm-hmm. and help support a family mm-hmm. in so many different ways, or if we took two D groups and they adopted one apartment and could trade off months. Mm-hmm. I mean, the possibilities are endless.
That's exactly right. And, you know, everybody's got a different gift. Mm-hmm. You know, some people like to be encouragers. Some people like to cook. And what's so nice about our ministry, I feel that, is that there's a place for everybody. And for the most part, you can do it on your own time. Everybody mm-hmm. is so busy these days, but you know, that's why I'm so excited to get Lynn involved in her role with volunteer coordinator, because we can find a place for anybody. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, handyman. Someone could be a person to run errands. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just endless.
It's really being family around these families.
That is exactly mm-hmm. right. And it's heavy on my heart just to incorporate more churches, more mm-hmm. businesses, organizations to come together as a community and really share some love and support for these families, where we can, you know, have those cleaning supply drives, mm-hmm. you know, getting the children involved where they can do simple things like making pictures. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things when I first started this ministry is I got my kids involved in I remember my son was, you know, just in kindergarten. And so we would just put paint all over our hands and just slap them down on a piece of paper and put God's love, you know, Ryan, age, whatever. And so those patients, it's simple things like that. I take those to the patients. And I mean, it brings tears to their eyes. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always have to be big things. So mm-hmm. anybody can get involved, basically. Yeah.
Well, Home Away From Home is one of Fellowship's local missions partners. As a church, we love partnering with you. We love encouraging our small groups to come visit and to serve in some capacity with Home Away From Home. And what we love even more is that you guys are a part of our body here at Fellowship. Both of you guys attend here at Fellowship. And so you have an inside look to Fellowship and to this ministry. If people want to get involved more with Home Away From Home, they can reach out to Debbie Blaylock here with our local missions team. They can reach out to you personally. We'll have your contact information in the show notes for the podcast. But well, Kim and Lynn, it was so good to have you here with us. Is there anything else that you want to share with us as we wrap up this podcast?
It's just an excellent opportunity to be able to share God's story that I think back just a few weeks ago when I received a phone call from a social worker from Arkansas Children's Hospital, and she shares me with a situation that's unimaginable, and it's regarding a six-year-old little girl that's at the end of her life, her battle with cancer, and the doctor's hope is that she makes it through Christmas. They were looking for a spot to call home and that they could bring her family together to enjoy her last Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so this really made my heart sink because I knew I didn't have an apartment available, and deep down I knew our facility wouldn't accommodate the seven family members appropriately. Mm. And I could have easily told the social worker that we were full and move on, but I thought that if it were my family, what would I do? And so yeah. I listened to that that shoulder tap, or felt that shoulder tap, the tap and the whisper and the nudge from the Lord that I was supposed to help this family. And the last few weeks I felt and watched and experienced firsthand how God has really used me. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful for that. Mm-hmm. After many calls to friends and acquaintance and strangers, I was running out of leads and options. And then with the last option, I should have known to reach out to my very own church and our ministry partner, Fellowship Bible. And within a day, they offered a 3-bedroom church condo for free for this sweet family. Mm-hmm. And this is where the real fun begins, is because we were able to come together and stock the condo with food. And we put up a tree and deliver mm-hmm. presents and make everything feel like home for this family. And families were showing up from all over, and just to show love to this family. And but we didn't stop there. And I felt the Lord continue to guide me on the next steps. And I was able to arrange for a special visit from my good friend Santa Pete and his elves to capture magical moments on video, thanks to our friend Josh from Fellowship Bible Church. And yesterday, we were in the home, in the condo. We sang Christmas songs, and we played games. We made ornaments for the tree. Hmm. And we enjoyed an incredible afternoon with this sweet Lily and her family. And the smiles, I tell you, they made an imprint in my life forever. Mm. We feel so honored that they have allowed us to be inside such a difficult time in their lives and be a part of their Christmas and a part of their family. And this is what Christmas is all about, really. Mm. This is also a good reminder that we should always act on those shoulder taps because we might miss out on the opportunities. Mm. And I'm mm-hmm. so glad that I listened, because it's blessed our team. It's blessed a lot of people that have jumped in to get involved. But to see that little girl's face when Santa arrived and to see the people coming together is just has been amazing.
That's such a beautiful story. Just hearing mm-hmm. how people come around and how people who love Jesus can share that with others by just caring for them. And
mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Can I share one other thing? And I don't know, you might have to cut this out, but Kim and I had a common person, a patient, and without going into the detail, but we are supporting a lot of believers, and we also have patients that are not. And one patient that I knew intimately that became a good friend of ours, and Jeff would have probably said, I don't believe in God. He was from New York and pretty hard personality, and he'd be argumentative with nurses. And over the 3.5 years that he was one of those patients that didn't get to go home, and he was surrounded by, I'm sure he thought at one point in time, what is up with all these crazy Christian people, you know, our family and others around him. And here, eventually, I didn't know, he was staying at a home away from home apartment. He was out at the Palisades. And long story short, when he went home on hospice, I mean, he would stay with our family after liver biopsies and that, since I think I mentioned earlier, because LJ, his wife, could not be here all the time. And before he went home on hospice, the last words that he said to Kim was, thank you for praying for me.
Yes.
And so we are, his ministry is ministering to those that are believers and also showing the love of Jesus to those that don't know him. And I want to share that because it's important to know that we are ministering to those of all faith backgrounds. And it is an incredible opportunity to spread the gospel.
That's right. Oh, man, that's so good. Oh, my goodness, Kim and Lynn, thank you for sharing those two stories. That really hit my heart.
It really did me, too. I think it helps me to understand more of what this ministry does and the meaning behind it and the impact that it makes in people's lives.
And they will really speak to our church, too. This was good to be with you guys today. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank y'all so much.
Until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.